Hello, I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy, and you're listening to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast,
where we help you become a family who lives, loves, and leads well. Welcome to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast. Today we have Eric and Kay Geiger with us. Thank you guys for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
And we are interviewing them. Eric serves as the vice president at Lifeway. So he's an executive. And then he's also a pastor of a church as well. And Kay, you are a full-time school teacher.
Yep, that's right.
So we have two working parents with two young children.
Who are here and beautiful, sweet little girls.
They're being babysitted by the Kindle right now.
Yeah.
Good parenting, man. Excellent parenting going on right next door.
So we thank you guys. Thank you for, it's a holiday, actually, and so you guys are here, and so thank you for doing that for us.
Yeah.
As you know, we love to get into and talk about the family and talk about the behind the scenes of living, loving, and leading well, and you guys are pure examples of that. I know I look up to both of you. Just a little bit I've gotten to know you guys over the last number of months. And so I want to pull some of those things out that you guys do in your home today. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we'd just love to hear. So tell us a little bit about yourselves, your family, who you are, what you do, your best little description in a nugget.
They're pointing at each other.
You go.
Baby, you're just amazing at this kind of thing. I want you
tell us about your girls.
Yes.
Okay, so we have two girls. Evie just turned 7, Eden 9, and they are as different as they could possibly be. On the way here, I was asking them to describe each other. And Eden described Evie, our younger one, as a ball of fire. And I think that's really pretty accurate, don't you?
That's accurate.
You know, comes in with a vengeance and has a lot of fun and then destroys. And then she is a lot of fun, just really full of life. And Eden is the friend that everyone wants to have, truly. I mean, she's just super loyal and
thoughtful.
Yeah, and just more, it's more quiet. But they are so super different, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Mm. And they're 9 and 7. Yep. And you guys have been married for how long?
20. We just celebrated 20 years November 9th. And so we are.
We were 14.
We were young. We were really young.
You look it.
We got married in college. So I was my freshman year at, we both went to Louisiana Tech University in North Louisiana. And my freshman year, I was the freshman president of the Baptist Student Union, and the next year was Kay's freshman year, and she was the freshman president, and I was asked to mentor her.
And he still is.
And so that's how it went down. I was like, I'll take that assignment.
That's
I'll take
amazing.
Her.
Yep. So that's how we. That's
so
how
that's
we.
How you met.
Yeah, and yep. We dated, and then we really did get married quickly. And some of our friends thought, man, this is. Why are you doing this? Why are you getting married now? Why not wait till you graduate? But we just really believed that it was the right time, and so we got married young. And I'm honest. We look back, our first year of marriage while we were still in college was awesome. We spent a lot of time together, and then when we graduated college, and that was probably some of our more challenging years. Yeah. So I'm really glad we got married when we did.
What was, if I could go there for a minute, and these aren't on any of the questions we're asking. We're just having a conversation. 'Cause we get a lot of people who are young and in love.
Yeah.
And, you know, the question is should we marry young and that kind of thing? Going back to your early days, you say, what do you think was the biggest thing that helped you in those early years? Like, was there a community of people that supported you? Like, 'cause, you know, I think our culture, it's very difficult to get young and get married and stay married in our culture today. Were there people around you? What really was maybe that one it factor, or maybe it was a multiple, that really helped you guys thrive in those early years?
I think one thing was our parents really set us up for success from the beginning.
Yeah.
Probably without meaning to, because they probably didn't mean for us to get married so young, but neither of us had any debt. Both of our cars were paid for. Our college was paid for. And we'd both been taught to save. And so getting married young and having very, very little to nothing, really, was not a big deal, because we had been taught from both sets of our parents how to make that work. And really, that ended up being one of the best lessons for us young, because we had to do it on our own. I'd say other than that, we were just serving in ministry together and loving it. And because we loved ministry so much, it was, and we still do, but it was more like a hobby for us that we did together.
That's
and so
awesome.
a lot of couples I can think of throughout the years in ministry, they're a little older than us, had kids, you know, already had kids, really did a great job of discipling us really just watching their lives more than anything, I think.
Yeah. And I think if you're listening today and you have kids who are young and they're in love and you're a little nervous about that, take heart. Like they can do it. It's the support of you as a parent, the support of godly Christian, the church surrounding them is really, really the key here. And as we move into that, you guys said that you love ministry, and I love that because you guys are leaders. You guys are on the front lines of ministry, both in school, both in the church. I mean the whole nine yards. But you also have children as well, and there's a balance there, especially through those early years. And we know, I know Christy for sure has struggled, even. So as you're listening today, if you're both working, we're going to try to get into some of these questions about spending time with kids and even from the motherhood. I want to go to the motherhood perspective because, Christy, you had a unique perspective when we first had kids that I think it's important to share briefly with Kay. And then I'd love to get Kay's just in terms of identity and who you are as a mom.
Those were some of truly my most difficult, darkest years. I have never walked through something so hard, so heavy, so confusing. And I think culture speaks to you from like both shoulders. You know, you've got one voice speaking into this ear, one voice speaking into this ear, that you need to be someone and something and making a difference and outside in the world. And you also need to be at home and be present, and you need to be with your babies. But it was such a struggle for me. I lost myself completely, and I felt like I was drowning. But it's been so helpful, I think, to watch women walk this road from very different angles. There are some that are good friends, good mentors who have discipled me. They are homeschool moms. They do their thing in the home, and they are amazing at it. That is not me, I've learned, and that's okay that it's not me. But I didn't know that was okay. And then there's also women who just are right back into the workforce because that is where they get their energy and that is where their impact.
Or that's what they have to do.
True. Yeah, for sure. And I think that's just, there's been a lot of shame, I think, around that conversation that I have absorbed, whether or not that was, it's certainly not intended. I don't think we mean to do that to each other, but.
I just didn't know what. I would love to hear
we just had this conversation the other night I see that in pastoral local church. So you have some that who are stay at home moms who can unintentionally send the signals to those who work, like you must not love your kids as much as I do. And then you have those who work who then can unintentionally send a signal like you're not as accomplished or as successful or as driven.
Like,
you know,
that's all you do?
Or that you're not doing anything at home.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I I've done both. I worked. I taught school for 9 years before our girls were born. And it took us a long time to get our babies, but we had a lot of great time together. And then I stayed home with them until Evie went to kindergarten 2 years ago. And I knew I wanted to go back. I was really ready to go back. And so I've done both. And I'll tell you, they're both hard. There are challenges to both. I mean, being home all the time with your little ones, your identity, it does get super lost in the, you know, I can remember saying to Eric and even going through a huge period before the Lord really convicted me of it, of where my identity was based on how my kids behaved, which is horrible because they are just so sinful and they mess up all the time. So, you know, things would be going great and then one of them would have a total fit in the grocery store and all of a sudden I'm a bad mom and I don't know what I'm doing. And because my identity was so built in my children, which wasn't fair to them or to me or to Eric or to the people around us. And so, but on the flip side of that, as a working mom, you know, I really have to think about my identity is also not in who I am as a teacher. You know, I don't have to have those accolades. You know, I'm doing this, like you said earlier, Josh, it's really, teaching is a ministry for me, and it always has been, before kids, since kids. And so, for me, I want our girls to see me love people who aren't like us really, 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 really well. And we talk about that kind of stuff all the time, because we're in a public school, and with awesome people, but who aren't necessarily just like us. Yeah. And that is so good, too. Yeah. So, but both are hard. Both are really, really hard.
And yeah. I think just acknowledging that, like just being able to voice that frees women. Just, I don't think we've ever been felt, at least I didn't. I didn't feel the permission to know that this was hard. You see too many women who I think put on the front that it's just easy and I love this and I love being a mom and it's such a blessing and it is, it's all those things, but it can be really hard too.
And I think the comparison trap is huge too. Exactly what you're talking about, yes. Eric, is just that whole, I feel like I have to be, if I'm a stay-at-home mom, well, I should be working, or I wish I were working, or I'm made to feel like I should be working, or vice versa.
Right.
And that can really be detrimental to a mom who's already feeling like they might be messing up their kids, or
absolutely,
you know, their identity is wrapped in their kids' behavior, and then now they're feeling guilty for, you know, and just all that shame and guilt that's just piled on top of each other.
So how has that transition happened now that you're back, you're both working? What does that look like in your home? How has that shifted things? What do things look like behind the Geiger front door?
Eric, how do you think they look?
We talk about it. We do regular. It's not like on a calendar or anything. Although I wouldn't mind it being on a calendar, but Kay doesn't like when we have calendar meetings.
Staff meetings? You mean our at-home staff meetings?
I don't mind them having them scheduled, but we do have where we just will organically have a conversation about how things are going. And Kay will ask a lot, like, do you feel this is it's good? It's good that I'm working as far as for you, for our family? And I think we just are really honest and realize that, hey, there is a cost when you take a
absolutely.
Job. So, but the reward, at least for the last 2 years of her being back teaching, the reward is greater than the cost. And I don't mean the financial reward that she's that's another salary.
Yeah.
For us, at least now with the kids, like, They love that their mom's a teacher. They love that they get to ride to school together. They love that she dresses funky for Spirit Day.
And I love that.
That's awesome.
And so, of course, there's a cost to pay. You know, I mean, it's a job. So there's work that she has to do. There's inevitably going to be stress that she will have. But then you always just want to look at is the reward greater than the cost? And in this case, the reward's been way greater, much, much greater than the cost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great, too, because it sounds like you guys have, as you communicate, there's a mutual respect for each other's passion. Is
absolutely,
what I'm
yes.
And each other's heart.
And Eric has really, I think to answer your question even more, Eric has really helped this happen for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew when I felt the Lord pulling me back into the classroom, it was about a year before I actually went back, and I got pretty aggressive about.
Oh my gosh, she was volunteering at the school. Only Kay Geiger can pull off some of these things. She literally was volunteering as a parent, and would see other teachers coming and trying to apply for the job. They would come and show up at the office and bring a resume. Kay would then, however many resumes we get, she would then print out that many of her resume. And put it put it in the same box with sticky notes. Like, you should look at this one. You should look at this one. She didn't quite sabotage all the other people. She just made sure that there was a disproportionate number of her resumes in the resume box. That's hardcore, man.
I may have been hired simply to get me to leave them alone. But whatever, you know. But I will
That's
say
awesome.
Before
I like you so
Ashley,
much.
I like you too. Before I went back, we had so many conversations before I ever even started, you know, applying all that. We had so many conversations about how can this logistically work. And because we're both planners, we both do like to lead, you know, we knew that, okay, there's going to have to be definitely some things that are going to have to change. And so my two biggest concerns as going back to work were, when am I going to grocery shop? You know,
totally.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
And my second one was, when am I going to do my schoolwork? Because when I taught pre-children, I worked all the time. Because I could. You know, we both did. I mean, we were getting different degrees and working, and it worked for the two of us back then. I knew that wasn't going to work now.
Yeah.
So someone told me, and it was really, really good, that delegate. Things that don't matter for your children, don't do them. So I found this on, you know, Walmart now. You can order your groceries online, drive up. They
You're
put them in your car.
Christy's love language. You guys just bonded.
Oh, that is
it's so true though. And you know, do your kids care if you go grocery shopping for them?
No.
Mine are like so thankful not to have to do that.
Yes.
So things like that, I've just learned, okay, those things do not matter.
Yeah.
So I'm going to figure out a different way to do those. So what does matter is if I'm going to teach, then I'm going to do it with super excellence. Mm. So how am I going to do that? That was a huge hurdle for us to figure out. So I can't remember whose idea it was originally. I think it was probably yours, Eric. But once a week, and it used to be twice a week, but now I can do it in once. Once a week, I go in at 6 a.m. or earlier, and school doesn't start till 8:30. So that day, Eric, the girls, you know, don't get up. They get up about 7, and they need to get to school by like 8:15. So that particular day, Eric, you know, gets up, gets them fed, dressed, all that, and I go to school and work for that 2.5 hours before, you know, the kids are there. And that has seemed, I mean, I just know in my mind, okay, this is my time to majorly knock stuff out.
Yeah.
And I do. I have it planned and ready to work on when I get there, and I just knock it out like crazy. So that has been, I think, transitioning-wise, planning that time in has been huge for us, or at least it's been for me.
Which gives you the space. Like, you know, you have this chunk of time. Yep. It's not that pressure of, like, when am I going to fit this in? And, girls, I can't play right now because
I've
got to.
That's right.
Which I wasn't willing to do.
Yeah, because she doesn't say no to the kids playing. She plays doctor with them and dolls with them, and she doesn't bring schoolwork home. So she would rather wake up early, knock it out, have me slop a really bad breakfast together.
and hair.
Send them off to school with their hair. Yes. Although I've gotten Evie, just admit, Evie actually prefers my piggytails to your piggytails.
That's true. I don't know why, but that's true.
I've gotten really good at piggytails. I really have.
I need to get some lessons from you.
They are pretty good. They're not too bad.
Our little girls too. So I need to get some lessons from you.
Yeah,
she
you
hates
do.
It.
Well, yeah.
Oh, she's like,
and she's got a lot of hair.
She got a lot of hair.
It's practice, man. It's practice.
So for the two of you, this whole time issue, I think it's important. There's a couple different questions I want to ask that lead into this. But while we're on this topic, what does spending time with the kids look like? Because I know there's a lot of working parents right now who are listening who are saying, man, I feel guilty because I don't get as much time with my kids as I wish I could, or I wish I should, maybe. It's the shoulds that are holding them back, or it's the guilt there. How do you balance that time with your kids? You say you say Kay never says no, you know, that she's playing doctor and all. What does that look like for you guys? Because you're a pastor as well, as well as an executive. What does that look like for you guys? Do you guys schedule that? What's that look like in your home?
I think I'm willing to work a ton for my role as vice president and then preparing sermons. And that as a pastor is really, it is time consuming. Yeah. But what I've learned is, I mean, I'm willing to stay up really, really late, and I'm willing to work really, really early. Mm-hmm. But then the times that there's these critical times in every day that I want to give to my kids. There's the Saturdays and the Sunday afternoons that I want to give to my kids. And so I don't always do this really well, but they go to bed, you know, fairly early. But from 5:30 till 7:30, that 2 hour window. By God's grace, most of the time my phone's down and I'm not on the computer, and most of the time I'm pouring into the kids. Mm-hmm. Then knowing that at 7:30 I can re-engage on some things, so it's knowing the rhythm and being disciplined to put off work till, I mean, I'll work till 2 a.m. so I can spend time with the kids during. You know, during those critical hours.
That's great.
Yeah.
You hit on a couple things there. I think, first of all, I'd say for young parents out there, parents with young kids, I mean, teaching your kids to go to bed early and stay in bed. You know, I was trying to think this morning of who told us this. I think I know who it was. But really, not only is it healthy for your kids, but it also saves your marriage. I mean, you still have a marriage when your children go to bed and stay in bed. Yeah. So we do. We know they're going to be going to bed, and we get to spend time together. Or one night a week, we usually have what we call a work night. So I knock stuff out, Eric knocks stuff out. And again, it's just kind of planned into our schedule.
Both of us are working, so it doesn't feel like one's neglecting the other.
Exactly.
You know? I love that.
I love that, too.
Yeah.
But we deal with that.
Yeah, it's a hard. You know what, really? It's all about it being intentional about it, I say. And my mom has awesomely shown me this, but people before projects. Mm-hmm. So right now, the people that are super important in my life are those that are in my home.
Yes.
So I may have a project, maybe it's just loading the dishwasher, you know, whatever, that needs to be done, but that can wait.
Yeah.
Those people, you know, that can't wait.
Yeah.
That, so, that's one of my weaknesses. The tasks, that's where I struggle.
We're both that way, actually.
So we have to keep each other accountable to saying, hey, we'll do the dishes after the kids are in bed, or we'll do it together. And we plan, if we need tasks to be done, we plan them together to kind of do a date together doing those types of things. And I think you guys prioritize your marriage. I loved hearing that, like putting your kids in bed and teaching them to stay in bed.
That's one of the ways we've done the stay in bed part. Thank the Lord that they do.
When it comes to, you know, having sex with your wife, you know, it's a good thing.
Yeah. And a lot of times too, we know a lot of young families who are just so exhausted, and what they'll do is they'll turn Netflix on, you know, in those 2 hours that they're together, or that kind of thing. And we just really encourage, like, maybe choosing one night to do that. But, you know, other than that, like, you know, have one night of that, of doing mindless activity. But if you really to lead well, you know, what we've learned is it's after 7:30, you're either connecting with your wife, you're connecting together, you choose to do work together. So you're not at each other to go, well, why aren't you spending time with me?
Right.
But it's intentional. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think the word intentional is what you used. Yep. It's such a great word. I want to ask this question. How do you two, because you're busy, and we deal with this too. How do you lead each other to Jesus? What do you need from Eric, and what do you need from Kay that just really strengthens your relationship with Jesus in the midst of the, because you're raising kids, you're leading ministries.
Life is full, for sure.
Yeah.
What comes to your mind?
Kay, to me, has been the most sanctifying presence from a human person in my life, and she challenges me without ever ridiculing me. Like, so I don't ever feel her say, even when I know I haven't been the spiritual leader I should be, do I ever feel like it's, hey, I was talking to so-and-so who's married to an awesome godly man who does this. Why don't you try this, schmuck? Yeah. You know, it's never felt like that. I think she just prays for me a lot. There's times where we have family devotionals, but to be honest, I mean, it's not as consistent as probably it should be. Currently, my most consistent Bible reading time, as far as with my family, is with my oldest. So we've been, for the last, I don't know, 6-8 months, been reading a Bible story together every night. And with the youngest, I've been going through like this New Christian's Workbook. She's new in the faith. Mm. But with Kay, it's really more conversations about what God's teaching me, or she'll say, hey, here's what I'm reading. It's really more us sharing with each other. That's what it's been for us. I mean, we have, I think one time in our marriage, we did like a couple's devotional maybe once, but most of the time it's been, I'm spending time with the Lord, she's spending time with the Lord, and we share in just the regular rhythm of conversations with what the Lord's teaching us.
Yeah.
I was going to say exactly that. I love when Eric's preparing a sermon, him just to say, hey, come look at this. You know, I love that. So we're seeing how each other's growing. And even though I know sometimes things that I'm like, oh, my goodness, Eric, how cool is this? He probably already knows. Or maybe it's not even right. I don't ever feel like, oh, that's dumb. I can't even believe you like that. You know, I don't ever feel that way. So I agree. I think more of our relationship is sharing with each other what each other is learning, and then also just praying and being consistent with our children to, you know, I should tell the girls all the time about things that I'm reading or studying, and, you know, just sharing with them that, and also praying on the way to school every day, just for certain people that we feel like we are going to impact that day. Some days none of us want to pray it. I mean, some days it's like, oh gosh, not today. But, you know, some days there are certain people that we feel like, you know, God's really putting on our heart, including them, that
And that's been cool. We've seen the Lord answer prayers in front of our kids that they prayed for. And so that's been cool.
Oh,
so
that's really cool.
That's been fun to see.
One of the things we talk about a lot, and I think it's really cool to see. And by the way, if you're not familiar with Eric Geiger, I really, really challenge you to get his book. If you're a church leader or a leader in any capacity, Designed to Lead, go to lifeway.com. You can find it there. And in it, he talks about culture and the importance of culture as we lead. And we talk a lot, and I'm just... I mean, you're talking church culture. It translates into family culture so
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
And we talk a lot that the question is, are you the adult you want your child to grow up to be? Mm-hmm. And what I want a lot of parents to hear, even coming from Eric and Kay and from Christy and I, because we're the same way. We don't have necessarily a devotional that we do, and we're very similar. It's through spiritual conversation.
Yeah.
A lot of times we can feel guilty if we're not doing those types of things, or I'm not doing this devotional with my kid this month, or that kind of thing. But really, it comes down to, and it's what you guys are talking about, you've set a culture of leadership in your home where you're praying with your kids when you're driving them somewhere. You're praying together. They see the unity in the marriage. And I think that is such a key takeaway. Even what I've learned from you guys today is the key takeaway for me is just that cultural piece. That I don't have to necessarily feel guilt or shame that I'm not doing X, Y, and Z, or reading three chapters a day of the Bible with my daughter or my son. But that as long as I'm the adult, as long as I'm growing in my faith, my kids are going to see that.
And yeah, pick up absolutely.
That. And they see us mess up too. I mean, it's an ongoing battle. You know, they see us receiving forgiveness and grace.
Yeah.
I mean, with each other and from Jesus, just like they need.
Yeah. No, I love that. And in the book, Eric talks about our job is to train our children, not just do things for them. And as leaders, that's, for me, that's one of my hardest things.
Mm-hmm.
I like to jump in. And now, granted, they're 2 and 4, but I need to start teaching them now to do the things be doing things for them. That's one of my biggest weaknesses, I know, with my kids.
And even, I think that can even lead into, though, the spiritual growth piece. You know, you feel like if you're the one that's, you know, sort of requiring this of them, or that, you know, we read this and then we do this and then we pray this and I ask you to, you know, now it's your turn to pray, whatever. It's almost putting those, you are doing it for them versus the them just absorbing who you are and how, you know, you see the ambulance drive by and you just start praying in the car for wherever they're going and the family that it's impacting. And it's amazing how those little ears, they just pick up that heart.
Yeah, they catch a lot.
Yeah. And it's so much less formal, I think, than we think it has to be.
Yeah. I want to just ask you guys one last question before we go today. What is one simple piece of encouragement you would give to families listening today?
Spend time with your spouse.
Mm.
I think, so marriage is a beautiful picture of the gospel. Mm. And so a healthy marriage, without even realizing, I think at first, shows, wow, that's how Christ pursues his bride. That's how Jesus loves us. And so I want my little girls to see that I love Kay first, loved her before I loved them, that I'm still pursuing her, that I still long for her, because that's going to give a picture of Christ and them.
I love that.
Yes, me too. And I would just say, have fun. Mm. You know, we have a couple of families that we respect a lot whose kids are older than ours. And Eric, you probably remember this. Just recently, I asked one, and I said, "Okay, your kids seem to like each other most of the time, and they love you. How? What did you do?" And they said, "Have fun. Have fun together." And you know what? That is why you drop things and dress up. That is why you drop things and play. I mean, you want your kids to remember having fun. And I think the more we have fun together, the more they naturally want to be with us.
Yeah.
And as they get older, and especially in those teenage years when we've all seen it, teenagers don't necessarily want to be with their parents. I think that there's already that culture of enjoying being together that it's going to be easier when we get there. Well, we don't know yet because we're not there, but we're hoping that's the direction it goes. So
absolutely.
I would just say, don't worry about the things that really don't matter. Just have fun. You know, things can wait.
I love that so much. That's one area where, and I think we resonate with you guys because we tend to want to lead things and we tend to want to shape things or control things.
We're both type A firstborn, so
we are. But just that getting on the floor and like, this is my work for today.
Yeah.
It's trains and it's Barbie dolls.
Tea parties.
Yeah,
you put those old bridesmaids' dresses and you can be a great princess.
Oh,
you
know? I love that.
Say all those.
I have a lot of those in my closet, too.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We really appreciate
your time. Thank you so much.
And be sure to check out Eric's book, Designed to Lead, lifeway.com. Thank you guys again.
Thank you.
For more information and resources, or to connect with us, go to drjoshandchristy.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Josh and Christy.
And be sure to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast. Write a review. The more positive reviews we get, the more people learn about it. tell a friend, and be sure to send us ideas, thoughts, and questions you may also want us to cover on the podcast.
It's an honor walking alongside you.
We'll see you next week.